Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Bruce Kaufman. Each week, we visit with an author from our region, get an introduction to their work, sometimes a glimpse into their lives. We try to find out what prompts them to write and give you an opportunity to hear them read from their work. This week, we're delighted to have Bruce Kaufman with us. Welcome, Bruce.
Oh, thank you, and I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Bruce is a poet, editor, and radio host, as well as the organizer of a long-running open mic program in Kingston called Poetry at the Artel. Bruce grew up on a farm in the Midwest and wrote his first poem as an assignment in high school, and about the same time discovered a breadth of voice and vastness of style being presented in that class that he hadn't understood before. He came to Ontario in 2001 and settled in Kingston, where he was impressed by the lively poetic scene about him and set up an open mic evening at the Artel in March 2009, hoping to encourage a bigger audience for local poetry. This event was so successful that it turned into a monthly session, still running today. In 2010, he approached CFRC, Queen's Campus Radio Station, and initiated his Friday radio series, Finding a Voice. He is now the acquisitions editor for Wintergreen Studios Press and also organizes and gives a series of workshops, some of them about stream of consciousness. I know you began writing poetry when you were asked to do that school assignment, Bruce, but I'm sure that many of the students never wrote another poem. What other experiences were important in turning you into a serious lifelong poet? You've had several collections of poetry published.
Well, I think I'd be really remiss not to say that I have to confess, I guess. I was quite young. It was about that same time I saw the movie, of all things, Dr. Zhivago. And I fell in love with the movie and, of course, read the book after. I wanted to be Yuri Zhivago. I wanted to be a poet. And then, I think that was my senior year in high school, what you had mentioned. I went to university. I went from a very conservative farming background into probably one of the most liberal universities at that time, in that part of the country anyway, and was trying to find my place, I guess. And poetry became a way of self-discovery and maybe a broader discovery all in itself. And I also think that poetry still does, but at that time in particular served as a bit of a therapeutic, for lack of a better word, I guess, tool.
Mm-hmm. Your early poetry was often inspired by nature and natural beauty. Are these still your chief inspirations?
Yes, they really are, because I can find a stillness. Of course, after having a farming background, maybe that's part of it. In nature and in those processes, I can find the stillness, sort of an absoluteness. And then from that, I guess, an awareness I often refer to as what is really true, I guess.
So how would you describe the process that you use to write a poem?
Early on, I did not write the way I write today. Like when I was in university, everything was quite traditional, for lack of a better word, I guess, just four-line stanzas, rhyming stanzas, and that kind of thing. It seemed to evolve into something else in my later work, in the way I approach poetry. Probably I became more familiar. I read a lot of Merwin, a lot of E. E. Cummings, a lot of William Stafford, and the process itself used to call a stream of consciousness writing, but I think a rose is a rose. But it's what I call intuitive writing. Mm-hmm. And that was somewhat influenced by something I read in that time when I was redefining, I guess, how I wrote and how I approach poetry. I read a book by Ray Bradbury called Zen and the Art of Writing. His key component, as I understood it, was to absolutely not think, to shut the mind off, and just in that stillness watch and then write from that.
Your poetry has changed over the years, and very much your poetry. Would you read for us now from one of your collections?
Sure. I'll read from my first collection of poetry called The Texture of Days in Ash and Leaf. That was published in very early 2013 by Hidden Brook Press. The first poem is called Places. Take me to those places I should never leave, to that color in the forest, to that palace never built, that vision made of glass and dream, pieces of rock and shadow, where the palace rests but is never seen. Take me to that dream that waits for a vision, waits for an eye, waits for a mind, then waits for an empty space in the back of that mind. Take me to the spaces between the thoughts, between the words, where wonder lies, where the water waits, where the universe sleeps, where the future lives. Take me to the depth of the night where all things become as they are, without mask, without face, without an eye to the passage of time. Take me to the home of the poet, to that home on the path from 1,000 graves. Allow me time to touch the names carved in the markers. Let me feel the warmth of the earth. Inhale the lilac and thyme, and watch the evening weep at dusk through a hole in the sun, in tears that wash all color and light from the sky. Then take me to the place the color goes.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks. Are you going to read us another one, I hope?
Yeah. This is called Hunger. Who am I to speak of hunger when even the sound of the word in my own mouth seems full? When my own mouth has only gargled in the sour taste of complication, obstruction, hesitation, and all forgotten as I spit them out. But how hard for you when hunger is your only meal. For you, how hard to expel desolation's aftertaste, to wash out that bitter swill of isolation. How difficult to rinse that gagging metallic film of helplessness that coats your tongue, your throat, your mind, your heart, that gnawing pain relieving itself only in bloat, then lethargy, then hopelessness, as the road that was laid before you dims and fades against your back, and as you look up into the slowly blurring vision of your mother's face, you understand that there is but one question, and as you close your eyes, the world swallows another answer. And the final poem from that collection is called Solitude. Solitude took the brush from my fingers and painted the color of its night on the back of my hand. I could smell her breath of roses and could taste the blood on her thorn. And there was a passionate fire in her eyes, neither anger nor lust. And she told me of a time when there was no poetry, nothing symbolic, no canvas or brush or back of a wrist, and a time when all things carried but their own face, and of a time of everything walking backward and with all their eyes closed.
Thank you, Bruce. Now we'll take a short break.